So if you'd stand for the reading of God's Word, if you're able, I want to say it's good to see Sandy back with us today. And Sandy's had a long recovery from her back surgery. It's a major surgery. Hope you're okay with me sharing this, Sandy. It's okay. But anyway, she's doing really good. And it's good to see Mr. Elliott here today. And glad that you've recovered from your surgery as well. And so our hearts rejoice with your heart. So let's look at, we're going through the book of Hebrews, verse by verse. And we've now arrived at Abel and Enoch, our heroes of the faith. And the title of the message is Enoch, the Walk of Faith. But we're going to look at Abel as well. So starting in verse 4 of chapter 11, and I'm in the New King James Version. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it, he being dead still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death, and was not found because God had taken him. What a way to go. For before he was taken, he had this testimony. And here it is. This is the key to Abel. This is the key to all of these 16 people listed in Hebrews 11, that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that your word is living. It's not just letters on the page of a book, but God, that the Holy Spirit bears witness of the living Word, that you were the Word become flesh, and Lord, that every word in our Bible is the truth from God to our hearts. Lord, help us to apply it to our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, the title is Enoch, the Walk of Faith, and we're going to look a little bit briefly at Abel as well, and because Abel teaches us how to enter by faith, and Enoch teaches us how to walk by faith. Now, I don't know about y'all, but quite a few years ago, I was starting to look like the Pillsbury Doughboy. I'd been eating too much. And I decided that I was going to do something that is so different than who I am. I joined a gym. And so I get to the gym. I didn't know what to do. Never been a member of a gym. And I get to the gym, and I'm going to exercise. I got to do something about my problem. So I get there, and I walk in, and I'm overwhelmed. Now, Sean, he would know how all that stuff works. And so I walk in, and I'm overwhelmed. And I didn't know how all these machines work. So I thought, well, I'll start on something that I know how works. Well, you can't go wrong on one of those treadmills. And you know, treadmills sell like crazy at the end of the year because they're New Year's resolutions. Then they become clothes racks a few weeks later. And we've been there. And so I got on this treadmill. And I didn't have on the right attire. I thought I did. And I looked down, and I had my yard tennis shoes on. And the front part of the sole of my right foot, well, I had a shoe that would talk to you when you walk. You know how hard it is to walk on a treadmill when you're limping every step? I had to pick up the right foot and then make that flap hit down at the bottom of the treadmill. So I'm getting after it, you know. And this lady gets on the treadmill beside me over there to the right, and she's a professional treadmiller. She knew how to walk. She's got on earphones. She's listening to music. She's got a bottle of water. And I noticed that she had this thing hooked to her lapel, the deal. And I was thinking, what's that for? And that's so that if you fall off the treadmill, it'll turn it off for you. And so I hook that up, and I get up to the same pace that she's going. And I look over there, and I can play with the angle on this thing. So I get the angle about right, and I don't want a lot of tension. So I've got all the tension off of that belt, and I get going. Well, after a minute or two, I think I can outrun this lady beside me. I crank it up, man, and I mean, I'm getting it. And I'm staying at it for a long time, doing real good. My foot's jumping up and down in the air, and I'm exhausted. Totally out of breath. I look over at her, and it doesn't look like her heart's even beating. And she's still going at it. Well, I finally stop the treadmill and go to something else to try something different. But I thought to myself later, that treadmill was useless. I went nowhere. I could have walked, and I could have made it to a post office. I could have walked through Whataburger's drive-thru. There was lots of options had I just been walking. Walking actually gets you somewhere. A treadmill, you never get anywhere. You're in the same old spot, and you're wore out, and you didn't do anything. So I thought about that and how it connects to our walk of faith. When you walk by faith in Jesus Christ, you're actually getting somewhere. But when you're not walking by faith, you're not getting anywhere. You might as well be on a treadmill. You're going nowhere. When we walk by faith, what we're doing is we are exercising in the earthly realm a kingdom agenda. Because now we not only have entered by faith like Abel did, now we're walking in faith like Enoch did. Look at your outline. And our first point is this. Abel shows us how to enter life by faith. And if you look on the screen, there's a verse right after that. Abel shows us how to enter life by faith. And it's Genesis chapter 4, verse 4. And I want you to see something about Abel. Jerry, is that verse right after that? I think it is. There it goes. Now, Genesis chapter 5 is where we have the story of Enoch. Genesis chapter 4, we have the story of Cain and Abel. And so, I'm going to flip there. It looks like the screen's having a hard time. Oh, there it goes. Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering. Now, why is it important that out of 16 people in Hebrews chapter 11 that are listed, that God decides to use Abel as the first example? I think it's only fitting. You say, well, wasn't Abel way back there? Yes. This is Adam and Eve's son. Cain was the firstborn, and then you have Abel. And so we get, now Cain, he didn't walk in a spirit of faith. He didn't walk in the Lord. We'll see that. But Abel, look what he did. When he came to church, so to speak, when he came to the Lord, he brought a sacrifice with him to offer to the Lord. And the Bible says that God accepted his offering. And you ask yourself, you say, that's strange to me. Because at that time, that's before Moses. This is before the Mosaic Law. This is before the ushering in of the ritualistic ceremonies of sacrifices. This is during a time where this is from the heart. Now, isn't that what God wants us to do? When we come to Jesus to receive him, to enter by faith, it can't come through ritual. It can't come through religious ceremony. When we come to Jesus, we must come to Jesus through a working of the heart. It's by faith. It's where the Holy Spirit is wooing us and he's convicting us of our sins. And he's saying, just give me your life. Just give me your life. And that's exactly what Abel is picturing for us. He is showing how faith works, that first you've got to enter into it by faith. And so God accepts his sacrifice. But what about Cain? Cain brought of his garden, so to speak. He didn't bring any kind of a blood atonement. You say, well, how did, go to the next verse right underneath that, Brother Jerry, if you don't mind. How did he know what to bring, and how did he know that this had anything to do with atonement? I think Mama and Daddy told him a lot. I can just see them when they're sitting around at the house, and Adam and Eve are saying, man, let me tell you something. Boy, we made a mistake. Did I ever tell you about that tree? Abel, yeah, we showed up at a tree. We shouldn't never ate from that tree. Sin came into the world. A sin nature came into the world. The reason you want to rebel, your mother and I, the reason that you want to live a life with a propensity to sin is because of what we did. We ushered in a sin nature. But there's coming a seed. We got a promise. The first time the gospel is shared in the Bible, Genesis 3:15, and it's on the screen. There it goes. And the Lord is talking to the serpent. And so as he's talking to the serpent, he's cursing the serpent and all these different things. Not cussing, but putting a curse. And he says, I will put hostility, or I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your seed and her seed. In other words, there's going to be people born and there's going to be those who are following after you. That's the ungodly. They're going to be your seed. But then there's going to be those who are going to follow after the capital S seed. That's going to be my seed, God says. And my seed is going to give birth to children. We call it the new birth by blood, where Jesus died for us at the cross. So Abel had enough to put his faith and his trust in the Lord. He taught us how to enter by faith. Now, the second one is this. Enoch shows us how to walk by faith. Abel shows us how to enter by faith. Enoch shows us how to walk by faith. And there's three things that you'll find when you walk by faith with the Lord. And I'm going to go ahead and give you the first two. The first one is, you'll walk in the direction he is going. If you're going to walk by faith, you don't choose the direction he does. When you're walking by faith, God makes the choice on the direction by which you must walk. Okay? His word is a roadmap in his Holy Spirit. Secondly, if you're going to walk by faith, you're going to receive from him the discernment he is giving. If you're not walking by faith, you cannot possibly walk with discernment. To walk doesn't just mean walking like this. It means a behavior, a lifestyle. And as Christians, we are to have a lifestyle of faith. And it's the behavior, it's the attitude that we adopt that, Lord, I'm going to walk in such a way that I'm trusting you on every step. A man plans his ways, God directs his steps. So there's the discernment he has given. Well, we're on a roll, let's go ahead and get C. If you're going to walk by faith, the destination is glorious. Ask Enoch, can you imagine? He's living for the Lord. Oh my goodness, something happened in Enoch's life. You can go to Genesis chapter 5 and see that. And we'll unpack these three. And I'm in Genesis chapter 17. We got to back up. Genesis chapter 5. Now, there's only three places in the Bible that you're going to read about Enoch. You're going to read about him right here in chapter 5. You'll read about him in Hebrews chapter 11. And you'll read about him in Jude 14 and 15. There's just one chapter, so to speak, in Jude. Now, let's read it in Genesis. Here's Enoch. And so the writer of Hebrews holds up Enoch as a testimony of what it looks like to live by faith. And here's the story right here. Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. Now, we all know Methuselah. He lived to be 969 years old. That's why we have the quote, old as Methuselah. And there may be some in here today that have heard that said to them at times. After he begot Methuselah, I like the one, though, at the last chapter of Deuteronomy on Moses, that he lived and died in his natural vigor. That's what I want to be. You just have all that, I don't know. We'll see what the Lord, he's going to do what he's going to do. So after he begot Methuselah, Enoch walked with God 300 years. Now that's a key phrase right there. Because he says in verse 22 of chapter 5 of Genesis, after. It's interesting to me that you don't see the testimony saying that prior to the birth of Methuselah, he walked with God 300 years or he walked with God for, you know, so many years prior to that. Doesn't say that. Something happened in Enoch's life at the birth of his son Methuselah. Now, verse 23 says, so all the days of Enoch were 365 years. That's a long time to live. That means if you were born in 2023, if you were dying today, 2023, you would have had to be born. Somebody can check the math. We got some accountants in here, but I think it's 1658. That's when you would have been born. So think about it. Now think about Methuselah. If Methuselah died today at 969 years old, and my memory may be off, so somebody correct me if I'm wrong, then he would have been born in 1057. Is that right? 1057. Can you imagine? That's how long they lived. Now, what's interesting to me is that Enoch walked with God those 300 years, and you say, well, that was easy for him. That was before TV and internet and all these things that we have today. That was before all this crazy culture we live in. Let me tell you, he lived in a bad culture because the floods are fixing to be coming in a few generations. The floods are coming. It's going to come whenever Methuselah dies, because the name Methuselah literally means, or Methuselah, it's a two-part word in the Hebrew, but it literally means man of the dart in the Strong's Concordance, man of the dart, or, I got another way of looking at it, or when he dies, it will come. Or think of a launch button for a rocket, and your hand is right over the launch button. And when that launch button gets hit, then the rocket is launched. Judgment's coming for somebody. Something's fixing to happen to somebody because the rocket has been launched. But the rocket can't launch until you kick the bucket. So when you kick the bucket, your hand hits the launch button. So basically, Methuselah's name means kick the bucket and here comes the rocket. You know what happened? When Methuselah died, the floods came. The floods came. So if you had understood all this, which Enoch did, it so affected Enoch. Enoch was affected by the prophecies of God. And that's why he can say the things he says in Jude 14 and 15 about where he comes with thousands upon thousands of his saints. And so the picture there is Enoch has been taught about a coming flood. He's been taught about the return of the Lord in the long-term future. He's been taught these things. Okay? So Enoch decided, you know what, this judgment sounds pretty serious. I don't know how God revealed it to him, but he decides, I'm walking with God. And he walked in a deprived culture for 300 years following the Lord. If he can do it, we can do it. You say in your heart, I can't be like these people in Hebrews chapter 11. These people are different. I mean, these people, they were like born to walk by faith. You were too. When you accepted Christ into your life. When you got born again, you were born to walk by faith. And so you say, I can't do that. So you look at the 16 names and you think, I can't do that. Now you might say, I can relate more with Rahab or some of the others. But think about it like this. Noah got drunk. Abraham lied about Sarah as being his sister instead of his wife. Sarai laughed at the promise of God that she would conceive in her old age. And if you want to just skip past some names, Moses murdered a man in Egypt. David committed adultery with Bathsheba and caused her husband to be put on the front lines of battle to die. Yet in the end, God used them. Why? Because in those people, God broke their rebellion. God will break the rebellion of his people. If you know Jesus Christ and you're born again, he will break our rebellion. And he breaks our rebellion so that we can walk by faith. And when we walk by faith, we bring glory to his name. We bring a great testimony to others about who Jesus is. And we are close to his word, because you can't walk by faith and not be in the scriptures. You have to have the word to help direct you. It's just an awesome principle that God has given us. You know, St. Augustine, he had a real deep interest in the contrast between Cain and Abel. And this is what, now you know Cain, he brought of the first fruits of the ground, and God didn't accept or respect his offering. And out of jealousy of Abel, later Cain leads him into the field, and they get in the field and Cain kills his brother, and out of jealousy. But God still uses Abel's story to this day. It still speaks. Now, here's what he says. Augustine says, Cain was the firstborn, and he belonged to the city of men. After him was born Abel, and he belonged to the city of God. You see, what Augustine is saying is Abel had a destination for his life. He had reason and purpose to live for the Lord. He's saying Cain lived in self-righteousness. He lived for himself. He lived for the flesh, and the flesh is what caused him to kill his brother. And so that was the city of men versus the city of God. Now, when we think about who we are in Christ, and when you're walking with the Lord, you know, there's a scripture that says, unless two agree together, they can't walk together. You ever tried to walk with somebody that don't want to walk with you? Yeah, they're turning right, and we need to go left. They're trying to get away from you. It's like the picture of on the road to Emmaus. Jesus stayed right there with them, you know, in Luke chapter 24. He's right there with them. And he's expounding to them from the scriptures as they walk. And the Bible says later that they testified, did not our hearts burn within us when he spoke to us on the road? That's what happens when you walk with the Lord. When you're walking by faith, your heart will burn within you. I think about that song that Brother Dean was singing earlier about sometimes I just want to praise him. When you're walking by faith, sometimes I just want to praise him. Have you ever been... I don't know. I like to think of when I'm driving, because that's a lot of times when I have choir, except when Kevin or somebody's riding with me. And I like to sing to the Lord, man. And I don't know all the songs. And I sing in a choir. I only sing in a choir because I love to sing to Jesus. I have zero talent In fact, if everybody got quiet while I'm singing, y'all would all go out the back doors. I just think that this is one more way I get to sing. When everybody else is having to be quiet during an anthem, I get to sing as long as I'm in the choir. Now, y'all ought to join the choir. It's a lot of fun. That'll be $50, Kevin. But when you're walking by faith, God will lead you in the direction you need to go. He will give you discernment, and He will remind you of your final destination as well as those destinations that He's doing on this earth. When we're walking by faith, we don't adopt the culture that is around us. When we're walking by faith, we don't care. We're not adopting the culture. The culture can define its own way to walk. The culture can have its own beat of a drum. I don't walk to the beat of the culture's drum. I walk to the beat of the Savior's drum. And as long as I'm walking to the beat of His drum, I'm going to have love for those that are walking by the culture's drum. I'm going to desire to see them get to where I am by faith. So I'm going to desire to introduce them like Abel does. I'm going to desire to introduce people to Jesus Christ, because there's no other person who has ever lived that has done what Jesus has done. That's why when we come to Jesus, we come to Jesus. Because nobody else hung on a cross to die for our sins. Nobody else was the Messiah. Nobody else was God. Jesus was the one who identified with us walking with the culture, walking with the lost, walking to another beat of another drum. I walked to a lot of different drums. I was drinking. I did everything the world did. I cussed like a sailor. I even cussed like the Air Force at times. I mean, my life was totally messed up. But whenever I met Jesus Christ, He took me out of the culture of the world, marching to its drum. He introduced me to how to walk in Him by faith. He gave me His Holy Spirit as an earnest, as a guarantee, and He sealed me with it. And He gave me the Holy Spirit so that the Holy Spirit could scream within my nature, telling me how to walk. And so what happens is, I found out I got saved one night in a hotel room, gave my heart to Jesus Christ. He completely changed me. I mean, it felt like a burden of sin was just rolling away. And I had a new direction. Where before, it was the world that directed my walk. But after I got saved, it was the Lord that directed my walk. I had something that happened within me that had never happened before. And it was like something inside of me made me thirsty. Not for alcohol. He took that away. Made me thirsty for the milk of the Word. And so I found myself that night, the night I got saved, I went to the bar right after I got saved. Now, y'all listen me out right here. Right after I got saved, I went to the hotel bar where they were used to seeing me, because something had already started in my heart right after salvation, hunger for the Word. And I went down there and I told the lady, I said, ma'am, would you make, she already knew me, I can't remember her name, I said, would you make a pot of coffee? Because I'm going to be coming back and forth for a cup of coffee, because I'm going to be up all night reading the Gideon Bible. That hotel drawer Bible, my first Bible. And I said, I'm going to be reading that. And I'd go back and get coffee, and I stayed up all night because I was so thirsty for truth. Because, see, Satan, everything that is of the world is attached to a lie. Everything that is of God is attached to the truth. And whenever you walk by faith, you find yourself walking at the same pace and right there with the Lord. And so you're walking now in step with Him. So as you're walking by faith, your decisions, your lifestyle completely changes. Every detail now is affected by your relationship to Christ. I mean, Lord, help me to be a witness today. Lord, help me to make the right decision in this. Lord, help me to do this right. And before you know it, you're having a conversation. He's now working through circumstances. He's working through His Word. I like to think of it like this. When you're reading through the Bible, you ever notice this happens a lot. Matter of fact, I'm reading at a fast pace through the Bible right now because I have a different goal this year than I've had in the past. And so I've been going at a pretty rapid pace. And it's interesting how you're reading alone. And then all of a sudden, I mean, the Word's not jumping off the page. But then all of a sudden, you get to a certain verse somewhere. And, I mean, you got to go do a U-turn. You hit that verse, and all of a sudden, it comes alive in your heart. It comes alive in your mind. That's where the Holy Spirit says, oh, you just touched on one I need for you. And he may speak something a little bit different to you using that verse as far as your application. But then you're reading and he opens it up. And it's like, wham. And I mean, you keep reading along because you thought that was you. So you keep reading along a little bit and the Lord's like, get back over there. What are you doing? So you turn around, you go back to that verse. And you start meditating on it and chewing on it. Now you're taking the Word of God and you're not drinking it like milk. Now you're chewing on it. You see, you're on solid food when you start chewing. You don't chew milk. Have you ever seen a baby drink milk and they're chewing the milk? They don't do that. They drink the milk. They chew the food. So now it's time to start chewing. The Bible says those who are maturing in the Lord have by reason of exercise, they have trained their reasoning through exercise, through application, to take the Word of God and apply it to their life and begin to make decisions, good, bad, or ugly, depending on what God is asking us to do. Does that make sense? In other words, the Word now is changing who we are. It's causing us to walk in relationship with the Lord, step by step. Then there's that discernment. The Bible says after he begot Methuselah, Enoch walked with God. He discerned that God had something he wanted for his life that was different before Methuselah was born. And he got on fire for the Lord, and he stayed that way, so much so that he made Hebrews chapter 11. I think that's just amazing. But then there's that final one. The destination is glorious. And I'm almost done right here, but I want to read Jude 14 and 15. Book right before Revelation, and it's only one chapter long, and here's what he says. Now Enoch, the seventh from Adam, not the third from Adam, but the seventh, the one that is walking by faith, prophesied about these men also, saying, behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment on all, to convict all who are ungodly. I want you to look in verse 15 how many times you see the word ungodly. Who's the judgment coming to? To execute judgment on all, to convict all who are ungodly. Among them of all their ungodly deeds. That's the person that never receives Christ. Which they have committed in an ungodly way. And of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. He says, Enoch was different. Enoch prophesied of these things that are coming. Enoch walked with the Lord, and Enoch had a destination. You know, Tony Evans says quite often, and I love this, he says, how you live determines how you leave. If you live a life of faith because you have Jesus in your heart, it'll determine how you leave. You know, I think about it, if you're going to fly heavenly, or if you're going to fly heavenward, you need to have something to get you there. That's what the blood of Jesus is for. It gets you heavenly and it gets you heavenward because he makes atonement for our souls. And if you travel internationally, you got to have a passport. And every gate you get to, every obstacle you get to, you got to have the passport. Matter of fact, you have to have the passport so much that you feel like it's glued to your hand. You're trying to drag your luggage and everything else, but here's the password. Because everywhere you get, not the password, the passport. Everywhere you get, show me your passport, show me your passport. It's like going to the hospital. They don't even know your name. How old are you? Well, I was born March 25th, 1966. Okay, that's your name. I hope nobody else was born on the same day I was, because you might have me getting a kidney removed. I didn't come in for that. And they don't want to know your name. They just want to know your birthday. Well, when it comes to getting to heaven, you got to have a passport. It's the only way you're going to fly. If you don't have that passport and you get to that last little tunnel going on to the plane, and there you are. I love that part. I love that stage of the flight. Because when you get to that stage of the flight, you know you've got it. I mean, now you're already ready. And they just want to see that passport one more time as you walk by you. And they'll take that deal and scan it. And then you get. And I love to watch what people do with their passports as they're walking down the tunnel. They have a brand new profound respect for the passport. Because now they've realized that passport got me from point A to point B. I couldn't get on this plane without it. And the reason I'm going up is because of the passport. And so they take the passport, and I mean, they're putting it in safekeeping, putting all their papers in it. Jesus Christ is our only passport. There's no other way heavenly. There's no other way heavenward apart from Jesus Christ being a part of our life. and He is our passport. We cherish our salvation. We want to please Him with our walk. We don't care what the world's doing. We're going to walk the way Jesus Christ said to walk, and we're going to do it with a smile on our face and our heads held high, even if the whole world says, that ain't proper, that ain't right. Say, well, you can join this drum beat or you can walk to your drum beat. But I tell you, my drum beat's got a destination. Yours hadn't got a destination like mine has, because I got the passport. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Now, you may be in here this morning and perhaps God's put it on your heart that, and you're feeling Him wooing you. You're feeling the Holy Spirit convicting you of sin. And perhaps He spoke to your heart and said, you know, you had never put your faith in Jesus. You see, the Holy Spirit initiates salvation. We don't. The Holy Spirit does. And as the Holy Spirit is convicting you, then here's your part that brings God tremendous glory. It's when you respond to the conviction. And so you have to say in your heart, Lord Jesus, I believe that You are. I believe that You are God. I believe that You came to this earth and You died for my sins on that cross. And I believe You took all of my sins. You paid a debt that You did not owe. I owed a debt that I could not pay. And Lord Jesus, I give You my life right now, just as I am. I give You all of my sin, Lord. I give You all of my problems. I give You everything. I come to You just as I am. I can't get cleaned up good enough. So, Lord, I just give You my life. And God, take it and change me and transform me and help me to walk by faith. And if You'll do that, He'll do that for you. You see, it's a great exchange. You give Him His life and He gives you His. And so, Lord, I give You my life. Lord, now give me Yours. Give me Your passport with Your picture on it. So that, Lord, that whenever I'm asked, am I ready for heaven, I can show You, Lord, the picture of Jesus is in my passport. He's accepted me and I have accepted Him. He's adopted me and I have received Him and now I'm His child. You may be in here this morning and perhaps God has put it on your heart that this is the church He wants you to identify with. And you feel that this is the time you can do that today. Be obedient to the Lord and just obey Him as He speaks. In Jesus' name, amen.